The passage that Tim will be looking at in a few moments is from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 15 to 23. It's on page 189 of the Church Bible. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all.
This weekend I heard of an article revealing that people had been encouraged to vote in a particular way and that their votes were being paid for. As we hear news like that, perhaps we think, what? This strikes at the heart of our democracy. This is something that infringes all convention on constitutional type issues. Then I was informed that the article was in connection with Strictly Come Dancing, and suddenly it didn't seem to quite hold such significance. How we see life sometimes can be seen through a variety of lenses. Are we seeing through a lens of entertainment? Are we seeing through a lens of politics? How are we seeing life? And when we come to focus on the topic of today, worship, which we're doing a series on over a number of weeks, we're recognizing that all of life is worship and that worship offers us fresh insight. Worship is the reality that as we come here to praise God and to spend time together, this is a part of worship, but a worship that goes far beyond, goes into our university placements, goes into our prayer lives, goes into the television that we watch, goes into the way that we spend our money, goes into our time, goes into our attitude to neighbours, affects asylum seekers, affects our views on people who are homeless. This is worship. This is all of life. What lenses are we looking through as we come to this topic of life? Maybe we see, or some see through a lens of hedonism, that desire for seeking fun and entertainment and living all of life in a way that is pleasing and enjoyable. Maybe that was something we were encouraged to do as students or perhaps in our 20s and 30s. Or maybe it carries on and we're seeing life is life to be lived for the weekend. Maybe that's a lens that we can be encouraged to see life through. Or what about a lens of wealth? Maybe for some of us we remember that time where the parents of a friend gave us an old clapped out car and we perhaps gave them £50 for it back in the day and we were proud of it. And yes, it had sort of holes in the floor, but it didn't seem to worry too much when the rain came through. We were pleased to have a car. But then as life has gone on and we've thought about wealth, we thought, well, actually, I want a shinier car than that. And perhaps we've had a shinier car and then we thought, actually, neighbours have got two cars. I don't know, perhaps we need two cars or three cars or five cars. And we see life perhaps through the lens of wealth, maybe a lens that says time is money. Well, what about family? A lens that speaks to us of life being about having family and 2.2 kids and a Labrador and a Land Rover. And maybe that's how we see life. But if we see life in that way, what does that say to us about those in our midst who are single? What does it say to us about times when relatives have died? What does it say to us about those who are seeing their life and the way they live life and actually perhaps making a choice that the way they live life is a way of honoring God? What does it say to us when we say, actually, it's about 2.2 kids and a Labrador? How do we see life? Are we seeing life through a lens that looks at it that way? Or what about success, status, that lens that talks to us about qualifications and the number of letters after your name? And many in society would see that that is an important lens in which to see life. It's about success, a lens that says to us, you've made it. But what does that say to people when they fail their A-levels? What does it say to people with learning disabilities who are never going to get GCSEs or A-levels or degrees or masters or doctorates? What does it say to us about people and people's worth if actually it's all about these things? Do we need a new vision of life? Are we being encouraged to see life in a completely different way through a totally different lens? Because these are competing stories at times, and they encourage us to live life in different ways which have actions and consequences and implications. The lenses through which we see life are important. They impact us. They help to shape us. And God calls us to see life through a lens that puts Jesus at the center of all we do. That allows us to have a posh word, Christocentric. It's a good word to use, isn't it? It makes you sound like you've got glasses on and you've done the degree. But actually, what does it mean? Christo. It's not hard to work out what that's about, is it? Centric. That's not difficult. Jesus at the center. Jesus at the center of everything. All our decisions. We've got the opportunity as we come to worship to think about looking at life in the light of a lens where God's big picture is what shapes us. Creation, that recognition that we have a creator, that we are made, we are not an accident, we are not a mistake. We have a creator. And then looking at what the Bible talks about as the fall, that time when others and we let God down and have gone our own way and sought to live life in our own ways. But then there's the story of redemption, God buying us back, paying the price for us, Jesus on the cross, paying the price necessary to bring us back into a relationship with him. And then the reality of eternity in his presence. All these things are wonderful. Recreation, being made more and more into his purposes. And so we're called to have this question as to, when we look at the Bible, what are the lenses that we are to look at life through? When Paul wrote this letter in Ephesians, he wrote it in a way that was intended to be read in a number of different churches. So what we can see is really, once we read this, this is Paul's writing to an ordinary church, written to the church at Ephesus, but it was passed to different places as well, to be read in other places, and it could be to the church at Didcot. What does Paul think we need? I've heard of your faith in the Jesus and your love towards all the saints, and for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. Paul, when he thought about the Ephesian church, started off at a place of unceasing thankfulness, because what he saw in them was that they were a people of faith, faith in their God, but also in loving actions that outworked into the lives of those around them. He thanked God, he praised God for their faith and for their love for all the saints. This wasn't a hypothetical faith. This wasn't a head knowledge only faith. This was something that worked itself out in actions day to day in their love for people around them, their love for the other saints. They knew a God who led them, who guided them, who revealed his plans and purposes to them. A God who wanted his people to be part of his unfolding story. A God who was not aloof somewhere else, but a God who poured out his love and his purposes into people's lives, that their lives would be part of his story. This is what he calls us to as believers, the outworking of his story in our context, in our generation. And our prayers tell us what is important to us. Are we praying? Are there things on our hearts that are significant? You tell me what you're praying about, and I'll tell you what's important to you. Prayers. And what did Paul pray? I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him. You notice that phrase, as you come to know him. Paul is writing this to believers. He's writing this to people who already had faith in God, who'd already put their trust in Jesus Christ. And he writes to them, as you come to know him. Coming to know God, an ongoing, progressive relationship where we know God, we know him in our lives, perhaps for those of us who are believers, but we come to know him as we allow these things to be worked out, as we allow the lens of living life in the light of his purposes to be worked out, so we come to know him more and more. It's a relationship that grows and grows. It's a relationship that makes a difference to our friends and neighbours. If our neighbours said to you, you're a believer, aren't you? You're a Christian. How would you respond? Yes, I go to church. Yes? And? Now, I see church as really important. Don't get me wrong. I'm a pastor in a church. I have a high view of church. But when I see church, I see this happening on a Sunday, but I see the outworking of it. I see it in acts of kindness in society. I see it through the food bank, through CAP. I see it through the flowers that are taken to people. I see it through the phone calls. I see it through the tears that people shed for each other. I see it in the time when people take round meals when someone is struggling. I see it in people giving lifts to people to church. I see it in love. Yes, we go to church, but it's not about going to church. It's about being the church. The framework that allows us to realize that all of life is worship. Sometimes there are things that speak to us. Maybe you've seen a film and it's had an impact. Maybe you've read a book and you think, actually, that book that I read 12 years ago, that stayed with me. Maybe it's a person, someone in our life who has made an impact on us. But none of the films or books, none of the philosophies or anything that the world can offer can do what this lens does. This lens that says to us, actually, look to Jesus. Fix your eyes on him. And allow his spirit to work in you that pervades you and shapes you with every fiber of your being. This sermon is not sponsored by a drinks manufacturer. But what Jesus says to us, what the Bible says to us, is that faith in Jesus Christ can get to us and refresh us in the parts that nothing else in life can reach. It can reach us in a way that goes deep inside us, in a way that nothing can reach, refreshing those inner parts. Paul believed that we need to have a better and a totally fulfilling vision of life that goes beyond hedonism and human feelings of success, that goes to a place where no area of life is untouched. He starts the letter to Ephesus by, and the Ephesians, by a cascade of prayer. If you go back this afternoon, you might want to read verses 3 to 14 that build up to where we're starting off today. It's an absolute torrent of praise to God. God being seen as the one that is the outworking of all our praise. And what Paul is in effect saying is, look around you, Ephesians. I don't want you to put your trust in the goddess, as she was called, Diana. I don't want you to put your trust in the power and might of the Roman Empire. I want you to see a better vision. I want you to see through the lens of Jesus Christ and his spirit working in you that is going to transform life. That's going to be relevant to everyone around you. So that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, this is something that reaches to the heart, to the core of who we are. With the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know with your mind, with your head, with your intellect, with your brain, all of you, your heart, the very core of who you are, and your intellect, the very way you think, everything is going to be pointing and living for Jesus Christ. Your heart and your knowledge, your center and your cerebral, all of it pointing to Jesus. And he talks about coming with this power that God is going to pour into our hearts, a greatness. And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power? God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Have you ever thought that the power that we're talking about, when we're talking as Christians and talking about the power of God's Holy Spirit at work within us, have we ever realized that what the Bible is talking about is that that same power is the power that raised Jesus from the dead? That same power was at work when Jesus ascended to the heavenly places. The same power. It's just a phenomenal passage. NIV, the New International Version, says this: that power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Put this power to work. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him. And this is the power that he's longing and wanting to pour into our lives, to affect us day by day as we're going about our workplaces, as we're preparing our essays for college, as we're seeing our neighbours. This is the power within us, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, that raised him and ascended him to the Father's hand. This is the same power at work in us on Wednesday afternoon. It's just a phenomenally life-transforming concept. And it's not only for now, it's for eternity. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And this relates to all things. He has put all things under his feet and has made him head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Can you see that some of our previous lenses of hedonism and wealth, these sort of things, they are just paling into complete insignificance when we look at the lens that God calls us to live life through, the lens of living for Jesus Christ by the power of his Spirit. No area of life is untouched, and Jesus is over all. When we see all that God has done, and when we live in his resurrection power, it inspires us and empowers us to live for him with every day of our lives, wherever we go, and to seek to do everything that glorifies God. This is life transforming. So I want us to think about just a couple of verses here and to put ourselves in one of three particular groups. Can I speak for a moment about those in the room here with us who are yet to truly explore or to embark on a journey with Jesus Christ? I'm going to read verses 17 to 19. And I want you to focus on Revelation and your heart being enlightened. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he's called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. Can I just encourage us to recognize that what we're talking about here is not a tweaking of a kind of a concept here and there. This is a paradigm shift. This is a change of seismic proportions. This is something that is a new paradigm of living. This is a revelation of what life is all about. And if we're here today and we think, actually, I've been coming for a while, but do you know what? I've really got no idea what this is really about. I sing the words and I sort of stand up, but I really don't. What we're talking about today, I don't live in the light of that concept. I really don't. Can we see that this passage is an invitation? This is a gateway for us to live life in a better way. To live life in a way where God himself, through his wisdom and his revelation, unlocks the door and shows us what life is all about. That the eyes of our heart become enlightened. Suddenly, the light is switched on. This is actually why I'm here. This is why I'm alive. This is what it's about. This is why we are created by a creator. This is why the cross makes such a difference. This is why eternity is so important. It all makes sense when we see it through the lens of living for Jesus Christ by his Spirit and his power. So that's something for people perhaps in this room who are not at that point at the moment, recognizing that we have a purpose, we have a calling, a master to serve, we have a king to bow down to, we have an eternal home. So maybe let's just put ourselves in a different group for a second, and for some it might be relevant to see ourselves in this way. We're seeking as a believer to live our Christian faith day to day. And we're here, we know we're believers already, and we're seeking to live for him. Let's focus on those words, as you come to know him. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he's called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power? Just that present continuous nature of coming to know God. I came to know God. I can't put a specific time on it. I know I made a commitment when I was in a camp in West Runton in the early 80s. I know that was a significant time. I know I got baptized on a particular date when I was about 17. But I have so much more to get to know about God. This is a continuous journey. Wasn't all answered in the theology degree. Hasn't all been answered in 17 years of ministry. I'm on a journey of understanding, and sometimes I just grasp the small amount that I understand. It's a journey of understanding and growth that allows us to be shaped. Let's invest everything we are and everything we have and all our intellect and passion and desire and time and energy, as God calls us to come to know him, to allow him to shape us and transform us. And finally, a third category. And this category is for a group who may be here today who are believers but are just feeling jaded, just feeling worn down and tired. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope. Not the rotas, not the call to commitment to do things. What is the hope to which he has called you? What are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints? These things that are freely lavished upon us, that we don't deserve. And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, who feel weak and vulnerable and tired and like a dry stick? According to the working of his great power, thus his great power. These are verses of hope. These are verses about inheritance being given, a gift that lasts forever. This is about power when we feel weak. Maybe for some of us it's time to have a hip replacement. Hope, inheritance, and power. Let's pray together. Paul wrote to the Ephesians that he had not stopped giving thanks for them and kept remembering them in his prayers. Spend some moments in silence as we think together. Who do you need to give thanks to God for today? Who needs to be remembered in your prayers? For a moment, let's bring that person before God in the silence. Paul prayed that they might know the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. Who do you know who needs to know God for the first time, or who needs to know God better? Let's pray for that person in silence. Paul asked that they might know God's power, which raised Christ from the dead and seated him over every authority, ruler, and title. When you look at the world, do you see rulers and authorities using their power for good or for evil? Let's pray for powerful leaders and ask God to help you trust him, that he is the ultimate authority. Paul reminded them that Jesus is the head of the church and that all things are under his rule. In your everyday life and on your front line, what issues do you need to entrust to Jesus? Let's ask him to be Lord of those situations and struggles. And may the eyes of our hearts be enlightened to know the hope to which he has called us, the riches of his glorious inheritance, and the incomparably great power for us who believe. Open the eyes of our hearts, Lord. Give us a vision of your hope and help us to live our lives in such a way that that shapes us and shapes the lives of those around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.